Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the beautiful day that you've given to us. Lord, we ask that you will open our minds, open our hearts, open our ears to your holy word this day. And Father, help us that we might honor you and lift you up and praise you. And Lord, help us that we might take what we hear today outside these doors to others and lift them up to you, Lord. And it's in the name of your Son, Jesus, that we pray. Amen.
Amen. May his glorious name be praised forever. Psalm chapter 72, verse 19. Please stand and join in our opening hymn, number 308, Glorious is Thy Name. You may be seated.
15, verse 57. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Please stand and join in our offertory hymn, number 446. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine.
Thank you. called Mike, I decided not to keep using that till we can, the new cord for it, so it doesn't keep making noise through the speaker system. We've been talking about pointing to Jesus. Not just pointing with our fingers or you know, just trying to walk through and whenever we get the opportunity, oh, Jesus, this or that. We're talking about laser pointing people to Jesus. So I have my laser pointer. And of course, if I'm pointing up here with the laser pointer, you guys, you can tell exactly what I'm pointing at. What am I pointing at right now?
Can't see it.
Well, that's why if you're sitting out here, you can see it.
Is it in baptism? I don't know.
Well, for those out there, can y'all tell? Maybe we don't know what that is. So, how about this?
Water.
All right. Let's see if we can get something. Oh, all right. Here we go. How about that right there?
What?
Rock. That's a rock sticking out of water. And I can do that. Now, what if I was doing something like this? Can you tell quite what I'm pointing at? I'm laser pointing, but it's a bit distorted, isn't it? To find out where I'm pointing at?
I'd say you're nervous.
You say I'm nervous. Yeah, like that. Well, that could be. We see today we'll start kind of a first in two of how to point to Jesus. I could come up here today and just start right into just some evangelistic types of scenarios and show you some easy ways to share your faith and things like that. We're going to get to that. We'll get to that somewhat next week. But what good is it if we have all of that? We know some verses, maybe we can quote some, or at least take people in a Bible to a particular place to show them how they can know who Jesus is. But if we don't have some preliminary things down in our lives, then that's this kind of pointing. Well, what am I talking about? The first part is walking or living what you claim. Living what you claim. Now, if I live what I claim, if I proclaim something, like for instance, I could say that I'm an amazing soccer player. Oh, you should see me play soccer. I am just the greatest soccer player there is. And then I get out on the field and a five-year-old starts beating me up like I'm nothing. My claims are pretty much nothing, aren't they? So you need to have the, you need to be able to back up what you said, right? Well, let's say that we're living a life that exemplifies what I'll call righteous integrity. But then people get around us and they watch our lives. They see us treating, helping the needy and maybe helping people in church and things like that. But then they get around us and they start hearing us tell dirty jokes. They start hearing us cussing and swearing. They start getting around us and we're gossiping about other people. Well, folks, we could live it. We could say that we're all about Jesus, but if our talk is ugly like that, that's this kind of point. Well, let's say that we're living with righteous integrity. Let's say that we'll call it speaking with godly speech. But then in our relationships, we're kind of ugly people. We say we're Christians, but hanging around other Christians is not important to us. We might help the needy. We might talk good talk. We might not ever cuss or swear. We might never tell a dirty joke. Or we might never get crude or whatever with our speech. And yet, in relationships, we don't treat other people nicely on the personal levels. Or we don't strive to learn how to have self-control in our relationships. Then all the other stuff is kind of null and void. We all understand that. That's this kind of pointing. So today, in the how-to, we're going to be talking on how to point, but dealing with us personally. We pray with you.
Holy God, I thank you so much for the opportunity we have today of coming together, coming around your word. I pray that you will speak to our hearts, speak to my heart, and speak to each of our hearts, that we will be the kind of pointer pointing to Christ that you desire us to be, that we will truly be able to laser point without falter towards the Savior we claim. In Jesus' name, amen. I'd like you to ask you to turn to Titus chapter 2. So turn in your Bibles to Titus chapter 2. Titus was a young pastor who the Apostle Paul had mentored. Paul wrote this letter entitled Titus in order to give Titus further instruction on how to reach the lost and disciple believers. In other words, Paul was giving instruction on how to, for Titus to better point people to Jesus. And as we look at chapter 2, I'm going to read verses 7 and 8. Paul says this, "Make yourself an example of good works with integrity and dignity in your teaching. Your message is to be sound beyond reproach, so that the opponent will be ashamed, having nothing bad to say about us." Now this was in the context of Titus teaching other young men to live a life of integrity, to speak words without being able to gain any reproach. And of course, Paul is saying, be an example of this. Paul's telling Titus that his life, his words, his relationships, and his witness should be an example to everyone of the changed life that he had because of Jesus. This is an admonishment for us. We too are to have a life that exemplifies Jesus in the way we live it, in the way we talk, just in regular everyday speech and talk, in the way that we handle relationships, and then culminating in a witness. So the first step for us in pointing to Jesus is to make sure that we're living a life of righteous integrity before the Lord. We should be able to say, as Paul said in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, he said, "I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." Sometimes I think we forget that Paul spent the majority of his life pursuing his own selfish interest, pursuing his own glory, his own pride, his own position. He spent the majority of his life basically shaking his fists at God, but calling it godly. He went out persecuting those who believed in Jesus, those who truly were pointing to Jesus. He went out persecuting them, even standing by the murder of the godly man Stephen, and then continuing to beat and torture Christians, imprisoning some, causing many of them to have to flee for their lives. That was Paul, who at that time was called Saul. Move forward after he met Jesus, after he realized that his life was worthless except to point others to Jesus. He says, "I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God." We see Paul understood then, finally, what it meant for Jesus. First of all, that Jesus is God. He's the Son of God, but He is God. He's part of the Trinity. And he understood that Jesus was to be his God, his Lord, his commander. And then he said, and cautioning us too, Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 3, "Therefore I, the prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk worthy of the calling you have received, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, accepting one another in love, diligently keeping the unity of the Spirit with the peace that binds us." He is saying to us, if we say that we truly believe, then Paul is saying to us that we are to walk with gentleness, with patience. And I love this, keeping unity of the Spirit. If we lived a life of discord with our family, with our church body, with our community, then anything else that we say is null and void. Excuse me a moment. I feel a little bit like a young man, you know, with the voice change and all, with my squeaks here, so. Y'all just go ahead and have fun with it. I've often used this as an example. When I was teaching youth, I told them, I said, "You all know my kids. Some of them are in youth group with you," and I'd say, "If I was teaching you these things of God, but you knew that at home I was beating my children and psychologically, you know, abusing them, what good would anything, as nice as I might be to you, what good would it be to you?" And they all agree, it'd mean absolutely nothing to us. That's right. So we have to practice to live what we say we believe. And that's what Paul is saying here. In Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 to 17, Paul continued. He said, "Pay careful attention then to how you walk, not as unwise people, but as wise, making the most of the time, because the days are evil. So don't be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is." God's will is not some mystery. In Romans chapter 12, verse 2, it says, "Be transformed by the renewing of your mind." Does anybody want to finish this for me? Anybody? Come on, Tommy, I know you know it.
"Not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may see for yourself the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God."
There it is. Simple. Simple? Yeah. Daily renewing our mind with God's Word. That's part of walking. That's part of living a righteous life of integrity. Washing our mind literally with God's Word. And then His will is not going to be a mystery to us. So when Paul says this, "Don't be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is," foolishness is not bathing our mind with God's Word. That's foolish. Wisdom is bathing our mind with God's Word, and then we'll know what God's will is. It won't be a mystery. So how should we walk? How should we live our lives? It's not a mystery. In fact, Paul sums it up in this way. Colossians chapter 3, verse 23. "Whatever you do," I love this next big word, "do it enthusiastically as something done for the Lord and not for men." That translates to every part of our life. For those of you who are not retired and you have the J-O-B hanging over your head, you may hate parts of it, but do it enthusiastically as unto the Lord. Man, that'll if you haven't already been doing it that way, start doing that, and that will change the view of those who work with you. It'll change the view of your boss. It's amazing when we work as unto the Lord. For those that are retired and your boss is your wife or your husband, or some other family member, as I know that can be dictated for us sometimes. Do things enthusiastically as unto the Lord. As unto the Lord. That's living the righteous life of integrity. We can't lie and cheat unto the Lord. We can't pull something over on somebody as unto the Lord. If we're working as unto the Lord, we have to live with righteous integrity. Our goal for our lives should be to point others to Jesus. It's, again, not this kind of pointing, but being able to laser point and truly a rock. Jesus is the rock. He's the rock of our salvation. He's the rock of our eternity. He's the rock of our life. We should be able to laser point others to Jesus, not just with our lives, but with our words. And I don't mean just words of witness, but words that we speak. Jesus warns us about how we talk. In Matthew chapter 12, verse 36, Jesus said this, "I tell you that on the day of judgment, people will have to account," listen to this, "for every careless word they speak." That makes me shudder. That makes me shudder. Because I know in my life I speak some careless words. And I will be held accountable before Almighty God for every careless word I've ever spoken. Oh my goodness. And so will you. This is coupled with what Jesus said a little later during his earthly ministry in Matthew chapter 15, verse 11. Jesus said, "It's not what goes into the mouth that defiles a man, but what comes out of the mouth, this defiles a man." Wow. What we say can defile us. The Old Testament has lots of things to say about this. It talks about, as a man thinks, so he speaks. It talks often about who can tame the tongue. Then in the New Testament, you have the author James. He's Jesus' half-brother. When he finally realized that Jesus was his Savior, he wrote the book of James, and in there he said, if a man can bridle his tongue, he can control his whole body. The Apostle Paul, among others, warns us about how we talk. He was telling the Ephesian believers, and we can read about it in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29, he said, "No foul language is to come from your mouth, but only what is good for building up someone in need, so that it gives grace to those who hear." I'm about to embark on soccer season. And let me tell you something. That is something, you got a bunch of teenage boys that some of them think they're better than anybody else, God's gift to soccer. They get out there and they make a mistake, and you ought to hear how they blame everybody else and the ugly things that come out of their mouth. But to be able to teach them this character trait, and they don't have the Holy Spirit, can you imagine how difficult that can be? But we have the Holy Spirit. And yet we find it very difficult sometimes not to have foul things come out of our mouth. I've had foul things come out of my mouth about other people. I'm ashamed of it. And I have to ask forgiveness. Sometimes I don't even know where it comes from. I'm like, oh, I don't even think like that. And why did I... Man, I'm so sorry. And that can hurt our witness instantly. That can make our laser pointing do this real fast. Can it? By our speech and what we allow to come in or come out of our mouths. Later, the Apostle Paul said in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 4, "Coarse and foolish talking or crude joking are not suitable, but rather give thanks. Now you think of this. If we are thanking God and before others, and we start focusing on the positives of praise towards our Savior, it's going to be pretty hard then to turn around and tell a crude joke or to say something ugly to somebody, isn't it? Because then our mind isn't even on those things. Excuse me. He gave similar advice to Timothy. Timothy was Paul's son in the faith, a young preacher who had a very difficult church to pastor. And he told Timothy, as we can read in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 16, he said, "Avoid irreverent, empty speech, for this will produce an even greater measure of godlessness." How we talk. And I'm not talking about here at church, just here at church, but how we talk with our family, how we talk with our friends, our neighbors, our community, how we talk when we're on the phone. You know, the best place to practice it is when you have a solicitor call your house. Hang up with them with kindness. Try it. It's hard. Because especially if you're busy and you think it's somebody that you really want to talk to, and here it's a telemarketer, and try to handle it nicely without, "Stop bothering me." You know, hang up the phone. Now, I'm not saying I always do that, but I do try at times to hang up nicely. Don't answer it if you don't. Yeah, don't answer if you don't know the number. They'll still get you. So how do we point to Jesus with our speech? Well, I think we just follow the instructions given to the Philippians, and we read about it in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. "Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any moral excellence, and if there is any praise, dwell on these things." That's how we keep our speech, so that we can laser point at any point in time to the rock that is Jesus. As our life is lived in righteous integrity, as our speech becomes more and more godly. Understand, godly speech doesn't mean that we always have to be talking about God and the Bible. But it means that we're different than the world. So we got our friends and they're like, "Oh man, here, you know, man, blankety blank and blank blank," and they're talking about something good and they're just, you know, cussing up a storm. And then all of a sudden we stop doing that. We don't join in. We talk about the same thing without throwing the superlatives in there. That's one way to have godly speech. When we start having godly speech, all of a sudden our pointing to Jesus becomes more pinpointed. But there's one area I think we often forget. I'd like to read something that I think is often misinterpreted and overlooked. It's Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 to 23. Now this is something that many of you probably have memorized. It says, "The fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faith, gentleness." Everybody wants to stop there. "And self-control. Against such things there is no law." Well, why do I say that I believe that this is often misinterpreted? Well, because when we talk of love, and joy and peace and patience, kindness, goodness, faith, and gentleness, we can easily talk about it in the realm of relationship. So I have a relationship with God. I have a relationship with others. And I have to practice in those relationships with God and with others love. Practice peace. Why do I say practice peace? Because Jesus, we've talked about this in the past, Jesus offers peace that passes understanding. But just because we know Jesus doesn't mean we've got that peace. Because we have to grab hold of that peace. So we have to practice that peace. Not just in our own selves, but in our relationships. Patience in relationships. Kindness. Goodness. Gentleness in relationships. Then all of a sudden we get to self-control. And everybody wants to say, well, that's about discipline. Being a disciplined person. Well, that could be entailed in self-control, but I don't believe in this context. If we're talking about relationship with everything else, why would Paul all of a sudden switch to something about discipline of our own lives? It's talking about self-control in our relationships. Self-control in our relationships. If we don't have self-control in our relationships, we may not handle someone the way we should. You ever heard the words, it's not what they say, it's how they say it? Where is that most spoken? In the closest of relationships, isn't it? In the closest of relationships. Or, oh, that's just, don't worry about how they said that. That's just who they are. That's just, what that's an indication of is that that person has not practiced self-control in their relationships. Well, I always speak the truth. But are you coupling it with love and grace? Not what's said, but how it's said, right? If that's ever been said of you, then maybe it's time to take a look at how self-controlled you are in your relationships. This is a very important point for us if we're going to be a laser pointer to Jesus, especially to those that know us best, right? Those that know us best. Now, we can fool people that don't know us real well out here in the community. Might could even fool our neighbors. Might could fool our friends because they don't see us 24/7. But what about our family that really knows us? Are they going to see with how we are in our relationships this laser pointing to Jesus? Romans chapter 13, verse 9. The commandments, do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not covet, and whatever other commandment are all summed up by this. Love your neighbor as yourself. But it's not just about loving our neighbor, is it? If a person is going to laser point to Jesus, that person will be consistently with the body of Christ. Consistently with the body of Christ. Otherwise, their witness becomes weak and questionable. What am I talking about? Well, in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 to 25, let us be concerned about one another in order to promote love and good works, not staying away from our worship meetings, as some habitually do, but encouraging each other, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. It is so important to be at church every Sunday. It really is that's possible for you. If today you look around and you say, I wonder where so-and-so is, why don't you call them today? And say, hey, I just want you to know you were missed today. Give them a call this afternoon. If you don't know their number, someone here knows their number. Just give them a call and say, hey, missed you today. Sure hope you can be here next week. I want to add to that, if I may, take this opportunity to say, Sunday school is just as important, I believe, as being here for worship. That means starting consistently, committedly to be here every week. Just come an hour early. That's all you got to do. Just just an hour early, and join us for Sunday school. Then you will find yourself more and more becoming a stronger pointer to Jesus. You'll find your pointing isn't going to be like this. It'll start getting closer and closer and closer until eventually you're right there. Because you'll have others who get to know you. They'll be able to help you grow in the areas that you find you're weak. It takes self-control to have a relationship with the body of Christ. Self-control to get up on a Sunday morning and come here for church, for Sunday school. Self-control to be part of the body if you're able on Wednesday mornings at 10 o'clock. To have that relationship. So how can we point people to Jesus if we're not pointing with our relationships with other believers? A good rule of thumb for each of us to follow in order to have a self-controlled relationship is this, in Philippians chapter 2, verse 3. Do nothing out of rivalry or conceit, but in humility consider others, listen to this, as more important than yourselves. The bottom line is this. If we're going to be serious about laser pointing to Jesus, then we must live a life of righteous integrity. We will have to have a life that is followed by godly speech. And it should be practiced through God-pleasing relationships that exemplify self-control. Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. And whatever you do in word or in deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. The challenge for today is for each of us to consciously look at our lives. Every day. In all the different situations we find ourselves, be willing to look introspectively and say, am I handling this with righteous integrity? Am I talking about this with godly speech? Now, that could be fun talk or whatever. Please understand, it doesn't mean you have to be all holding everything what people think of for their speech. Just in everyday talk. Is this something God would be okay with? And then, am I being self-controlled in my relationships? These things are important for us then to witness, so that's why I say this is part one. We could be the best at the task of evangelism, but if we don't have these things in our lives and continually working on these things in our lives, and no matter what we do in evangelism, it will amount to nothing. Because God's concerned about our heart and who we truly are before Him. Let's pray. Holy God, I thank you so much for your word. I pray as we look at these items of for our lives of living with righteous integrity, the speaking godly speech that you would be pleased with, and having self-control in our relationships. I pray that we will, through that's truly walking the walk of our faith. May people see you through that, so that when we actually give words of witness, as we'll talk about next week, that they will see it, and they will see that it is a laser pointing to you, Jesus, our Savior. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Hymn 249. I'm going to ask that we stand and sing.
Let's sing through all the verses of hymn 249. This is invitation. Invitation is not a time just to say. It's a time to come and make commitment before the Lord. And I said before, you'll come sit on a pew up here, pray up here, pray with me, though I'll keep my distance from you. If you want someone to pray with, I have some deacons that would be more than happy to pray with you. But to come as an invitation to say, Jesus, I'm going to live a life, I'm going to speak a speech, I'm going to have relationships that are going to exemplify you. It's not saying I don't already have it. It's putting a pinpoint on it today that I'm going to be even more conscious of it today so that I can place a point people to Jesus. This is a great opportunity to put feet to that commitment. So as we sing, we'll stand and sing. Yes.